fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump.
I don't like your
ass. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump.
Welcome back to Eat the Press.
Yeah, welcome back, guys.
And also, fuck Donald Trump.
Evergreen.
Evergreen, that's never going to stop. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm making it. I mean, we talked about potentially doing an emergency episode when the race was finally called.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of glad that we didn't.
I am too, because I had, like, when the race was called on Saturday, I had, like, a good Saturday and Sunday where I was like, ah, you know what? Things are going to be okay. They're going to be fine. And now I'm like, oh, they're doing a coup. They're doing it.
You know, I had a solid 48 hours where I convinced myself that they weren't going
to
do it.
Me too. I was like, see, okay, so I've talked about this before. I have a very good friend. His name is Jeff. I'd love to have him on the show. And we have had this disagreement for about a year and a half where I've said, I've always maintained Donald Trump isn't going to leave office. He's agreed with that. His whole thing was Mitch McConnell and the Republicans would drop him because they don't need him. And they'll be like, okay, it's done. And it's not nothing. It's going to be fine because the establishment Republicans will be finally glad to be rid of him. And I've always maintained, no, Mitch McConnell's going to back him. He doesn't want to lose power. And, I didn't know what the details of that would be. But here we are. Mitch McConnell's backing him.
I don't even know how that's even an argument, because the establishment Republicans had their out after the impeachment.
That's what I said. And I said, listen, there is no line that Mitch McConnell and the Republicans won't cross. You think this is some sort of line that they're going to be like, okay, we're not going to cross that line. Get out of here. I called him naive. So he always brings that up. And on Sunday, he was like, looks like I'm right. And then last night, I was like, looks like you're wrong. I don't want to be right.
It is my burden to bear. I am right roughly 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's not a point of pride.
Yeah. I don't want to be right about this.
Yeah, like, sometimes in my marital life, I have to pretend to be wrong.
I mean, that's you gotta. You gotta pretend to be wrong sometimes so that you stay humble, you stay, in a healthy relationship.
Like, I don't want her to feel like there's a power imbalance in the relationship where she's just habitually wrong.
Oh, stop. Well, so where are we? Let's catch our listeners up to where we are. If they're not caught up right now, I don't know how you couldn't be.
So I don't know why we didn't know we would be in this position, because Trump forecasted for months that if he lost, it would only be because the election was stolen and because of voting irregularities. And now he is not only refusing to concede,
mm-hmm.
he's claiming victory.
Right. And as of, there was a poll that came out yesterday that 70% of Republicans believe the election was stolen from him and that there's been fraud. And let's be clear, there hasn't been. There's no, all these lawsuits that the Trump campaign is bringing they don't have any proof of anything. They're just wild allegations.
And that's why most of them have been thrown out. But at least in the public sphere on social media, Republicans have adopted this dumbass debate club tactic where you can't prove there isn't any fraud. And yes, we can't prove that there's no, that you can't prove a negative.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's not how the judicial system works. You have to prove that the crime was committed.
Correct.
Not that we simply can't prove that it wasn't committed.
Right. And apparently, I think, was it Giuliani trotted out some postal worker who said that he had seen fraud? Was it a postal worker? I can't remember.
It was a postal worker in Erie County, Pennsylvania.
Right. And it turns out he recanted yesterday and said he was paid $130,000 from GOP donors. He said there was no fraud that he saw.
Yeah, no, it was a complete and total lie. James O'Keefe of Project Veritas, eternal scandal, was involved. No, he was involved in this.
Oh, my God. Shocker.
But you know what? $130,000. Where have I heard that number before?
It sounds very familiar. Is that the same number that Stormy Daniels was paid?
Yep, that is like that is the Trump special.
130. That's all you got to tell them. Doesn't matter probably where you start negotiating, that's where you're going to get to.
How can I get my 130?
Start grifting.
You know who I feel sorry for? I mean, assuming that this coup fails and Biden is inaugurated as president, he's actually sworn in. I feel sorry for all these black MAGA grifters.
You actually feel sorry for them?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't want to see anybody starve. We don't have universal basic income yet.
I mean, I think they're going to be just fine. They'll have their tiny little bubble that they get to still talk to and listens to them. So here's where I'm at. Legally, this is probably not going to go anywhere. I mean, Trump throws everything he can at whatever it is he's in and hopes for something to stick. But I think cynically, most Republicans know there's no merit to this. Right?
Absolutely not. And it's absurd that they're claiming all of these House victories and they're claiming, you know, they retook the Senate seat. Like, these are the same fucking ballots that we voted on for president.
Yeah, but
Either the ballots are good or they're not.
exactly. Somehow they're legit for their congressional seats, but not for the president. So, I just think it's really dangerous what they're doing. It's really, really dangerous. They are convincing half the country that there's been fraud. They are riling them up. They don't care if they burn it all down.
They don't. And I have said time and time again, Trump is never playing 4D chess, but they're starting to move the pieces on the board. They have fired the Secretary of
Yes,
Defense.
they fired a bunch of people in the military. It's scary.
There is no good reason to shed Pentagon personnel at this juncture. Like, even if you did not want to move forward with them in leadership positions, that could wait until after the inauguration. And if Biden wins, they weren't going to have those seats anyway. I have to wonder if this is about a philosophical disagreement on using the military against some US citizens.
Right. And that was another thing my friend Jeff and I always argued about. He was like, the military doesn't back him. And I'm like, all it is going to take is for him to fire everyone that isn't a yes man and put yes men in there. That's it. That's all it's going to take.
I don't understand this cowardly tact that these conservatives take when they're like, I will not stand for this. I resign. Like, bitch, you were in the position to stop him.
I
You're
know.
gonna resign and let him put a sycophant in?
I mean, seriously, that's what I said. I was like, I don't understand this. This is you're giving him the power if you resign instead of standing up and like doing something about it.
Yeah, you're just saying, well, it didn't happen on my watch.
I mean, but also he's also just firing people, so it's not like they're all resigning. Some of them are just being fired.
All right, so here's the thing. If you are, you know, deputy secretary of justice or whatever the fuck it is, like the person in charge of prosecuting election crimes in the DOJ recently resigned
Yes.
over Barr saying that he would investigate all these state races.
Yes.
If you have reached that level in your career, it's not like you got fired from the Comcast call center. People know what your qualifications are. You are going to land on your feet. Just take that L, get fired.
Yeah. Don't just resign, just take the L and get fired. You'll actually be more respected, probably.
Absolutely. It shows that you are a person of integrity. You are going to land on your feet. It's just pure craven cowardice.
Yes, which is what the Republican Party is at this point. It's all craven cowardice. I do think Mitch McConnell is playing this long con. I think he knows it's not going to work out, but at the same time, he doesn't care if it does or doesn't. Either way, he wins. They're all fine with a coup, and he cares about this Georgia race.
So Mitch McConnell's coup started when he wouldn't hold confirmation hearings on Merrick Garland. And
Yes.
I said this a year ago in this pod. This is a slow-moving coup, and now we've just stepped on the gas.
I had my 2 days of like relief, and now it's back to fuck. They are going, I really think they're going to start of a civil war. This is what they don't, this is why it's so dangerous, because they don't care the violence they're going to incite, the people that could get hurt, the acts of terrorism that could be caused by them turning up the temperature like this. It's insane.
This is the last gasp. They know that their road to electoral victories is pretty much eroded. It's not going to happen anymore, barring theft. And they're like, you know, fuck it. Smash and grab.
Lindsey Graham last night, I think, went on TV and said, Republicans have no future to be elected going forward.
What?
If we don't change, he said, oh, shit, what was it he said? He basically admitted that Republicans can't. Oh, he said Republicans win on policy, but Democrats win because of cheating.
That's the biggest projection ever.
I know. It's like, no, bro, nobody likes your policies. They really don't like your policies. You guys are the cheaters. So,
you know, that actually sort of dovetails with something else I wanted to chat about.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to digress a little bit. So as soon as the election was called,
mm-hmm.
the Dem infighting began.
I know. Nancy Pelosi immediately pretty much put out a statement, or told her, not to put out a statement, but told her members that in Georgia, they better not move to the left, or else they're going to alienate voters and lose those two Senate seats that are up for a runoff, which is a load of shit.
Yeah, and in that conference call, your representative, one Abigail Spanberger, complained that the leftist wing of the party almost cost her election.
Bullshit.
Because of talk about defunding the police and socialism.
Bullshit.
Well, first and foremost, no one in the party ran on defund the police.
Nope.
That was a grassroots activist slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Which in itself was a compromise from abolish the police.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I live in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Connor Lamb is not my congressman, but I live in the adjacent district. And he said the same thing, that his race was almost cost by the AOCs and Rashida Tlaibs and Ayanna Pressleys of the world. I watched those ads. Every campaign ad compared him to Nancy Pelosi, that he votes in lockstep with Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
At no point was he painted as a leftist, and at no point ever did any of these people mention defunding the police. Which just goes to show that all of these centrist Dems, if in fact they were impacted by that rhetoric, it's because they ran horrible campaigns.
Yes, they did.
If you can lose based on a position you didn't even take, what the fuck was your messaging?
Exactly.
How did your voters not know what you stood for?
I mean, I'll tell you, Spanberger had tons of YouTube ads. I don't know if she had Facebook ads. Tons of mailers. I mean, I cannot tell you how many fucking junk mail mailers I got, which, what a waste of fucking money. Stop spending your money on paper. That's not where you're going to get the votes, first of all, is not by sending mailers. Second of all, I live in her district. It's pretty fucking diverse.
Like, yeah, I'm very familiar with that district, yeah.
I mean, it's outside of Richmond. Richmond is a majority black city. I will say I live in a townhouse neighborhood. It's majority black with some Hispanic people, a couple of Middle Easterners, not including myself and my husband, and a couple white people. I live in a, you know, townhouse. A lot of rentals here. We're renting. My sister, who lives in a much nicer neighborhood, same type of diversity in her neighborhood. This is absolute bullshit. I'm not saying there aren't a lot of MAGA chodes here. There are. But it's also a very diverse place to live.
Yeah, in the media, that district is always portrayed as like a solidly red southern district. But demographically, it's not entirely different from Northern Virginia.
No, it's not. And if you had a Democrat run here who actually was progressive and left and could actually reach out to voters and get people excited, I am sure that you could flip this district. I mean, it's been flipped by Spanberger, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, and AOC pointed out that all of the, with the exception of one person, every co-sponsor of the Green New Deal won their election, including three in swing districts. So it's not as if saying, like, I can't run on that in this district. Absolutely, you can run and win.
I mean, look at Katie Porter. She's from a district that is very red and has been red for many years. And she gets out there and she fights as a progressive. She does. And she has been reelected. What do you think that's about? I mean, what have we ever heard Abigail Spanberger talk about? I get that she was one of the people that signed the letter for impeachment. Yes, I get that. But you got to have more than just that.
And that's the thing. When the push for just electing someone with a D next to their name, regardless of what they stand for, the argument being we just need rubber stamps on legislation.
And then it comes right back to, like, how are you different from the Republicans? Because you know what? What really pissed me off, and I don't know if it's just the media narrative or if it's also Democrats saying this, but, like, you're hearing a lot of brushing off these two Georgia Senate races that are runoffs, that they're already foregone. The conclusion is already foregone that they're going to get lost, that, those two people will lose to the Republicans. And one, it's defeatist. But two, Georgia possibly turned blue. Do we know yet if it actually turned blue?
No, Georgia flipped.
Okay, so Georgia flipped.
There will be a recount. The margin is really slim.
Okay. But because of Stacey Abrams, and Stacey Abrams is leftist and progressive.
Okay, can we table that for a bit?
Okay.
I think Stacey Abrams has done amazing work.
Yes. She,
and I applaud her.
She's, like, registered hundreds of thousands of people.
So there are so many grassroots organizations doing that work on the ground.
Sure, yes.
And I salute Stacey Abrams. She is a hero. Absolutely. But it is those grassroots organizations who have worked in engaging voters. And actually, after the elections went to runoffs, I decided to do some donations. And I didn't give a single penny to either the Warnock campaign or...
Yeah, don't give it to their campaign. Give it to the left, the activist, like, grassroots organizations. That's who you give your money to.
That is absolutely who I... We saw what happened after pouring money into Dem Senate campaigns in South Carolina and in Kentucky. You might as well just piss that money out the window. It didn't move the needle. Give it to the campaigns because... I mean, sorry, give it to the grassroots organizations. One of the things that AOC said that the Democrats were doing wrong is, like, all of their campaign messaging was in the wrong place.
Yeah, it's not on Facebook, apparently. That's why I said, like, I got so many paper mailers, and it's like, that doesn't do shit, guys. People don't care about paper fucking mailers.
The Dems are bad at this. And you know who agreed with AOC that the Dems were doing all of their marketing campaign publicity wrong? Doug Jones.
Interesting.
Doug Jones said, no, absolutely. The DNC is really bad at this on a national level and on the state level. And if you go back to 2008, you realize that Obama was so successful
because
his campaign apparatus was outside of the DNC. He was like, no, we're going to do our own thing because you idiots don't know what the fuck you're doing.
And they don't. And so that's why I go, don't fucking listen to Nancy Pelosi. Let these grassroots organizations do what they're going to do. Give them money and let's try to flip Georgia. I don't know what the I don't know. I don't know what the chances are. Polling was a lot wrong again this year. So, you know, who fucking knows? But don't fucking listen to the Dems. They don't know what they're fucking talking about.
And I really believe that Perdue and Warnock have a chance of winning their seats, especially Warnock.
No, no.
When you consider Kelly Loeffler...
You mean Ossoff? Ossoff is... John Ossoff, isn't he the... against Perdue?
Yeah, no, yes. Ossoff is running against Perdue. I'm saying that...
You think Perdue is going to win?
Warnock is running against Loeffler.
Yes. Come on, Loeffler? You can't fucking beat her? Come on.
She has literally never been elected.
She's never been elected.
She's eminently beatable.
It just came out like a day ago that she used Donald Trump's, possibly, allegedly, Donald Trump's tax cheats that he, the tax code that he just passed, to buy a brand new jet and write it off. This bitch does not care about you.
We need to get this Patreon set up, because I want to get in on that jet action.
What do you need a jet for?
I'm not flying commercial. It's fucking COVID.
I mean, don't go anywhere, dude. Just don't go anywhere. Where can you go anyways? Nobody will let us in that we would need to get a plane on a plane for. We're banned.
That's broke boy talk. That is absolute broke boy talk. No one with a jet wonders about where they can go.
Sure. Okay. That jet's not going to get you anywhere, though. You're just going to have a jet?
I can't believe you said that peasant-ass shit. Like, where can you go?
I mean, Americans are banned. Let's just remember that. We're not some Kardashians here renting an island.
100% of Americans with private jets can go where the fuck they want.
I know that. Fuck those people. Well.
So yeah, we are in the midst of a coup. Marco Rubio was talking yesterday again about Trump 2024.
That man does not have the stamina for this in 2024.
And I was trying to parse out what he was saying. Like, was he working under the assumption that Biden had in fact won and that Trump would be running again from the outside? Or are they talking that Trump three-term shit, which they have floated for a year and a half now?
They've made, quote, jokes about it. I mean, I don't know. It's very dangerous what these people are doing. They are turning up the temperature in this country and riling up people who are ready to go shoot people.
Oh, yeah. We're approaching a boiling point. And let's stop calling it jokes. When Mike Pompeo says we'll have a smooth transition to a next Trump administration, don't report on it as if it's a joke. These people aren't funny.
I mean, also, I saw, so last night, I don't ever watch CNN, and I just was like, let me just, hop in and just see what CNN's saying. And Chris Cuomo was on there, and he was actually being like, this is a coup. What is happening? Like, he was very much turning up the alarm. And then I jumped on Twitter, and I actually, somebody I follow, Quinta Brunson, do you know her?
Yeah, I know. She's a Black Lady Sketch Show.
Yes. So I follow her, and apparently he's the only one doing it, because she had said she had tweeted she had been watching, like, the cable news, and no one else is treating this with the alarm that they should be treating it, except for him, apparently. I just was like, what? How is this? How is our media not taking this seriously?
We have Mitch McConnell urging Republican state legislatures to just choose electors that will put Donald Trump through, regardless of the vote.
Yes. Okay, so I didn't realize this, but apparently in a state, the electors are chosen by each party. So each party has its own electors. And whoever wins that state, that party's electors are the ones that cast their vote. So the other part, the losing party's electors don't cast a vote. But now this is very, I don't want to.
Facts don't matter.
Yeah, we're not experts. I was listening to, I sent you the link. Did you listen to it? Brian Lehrer's daily pod. You don't listen.
I have not listened to a pod, no. I've read every reading link you've sent me, but no, I've not
okay,
listened to
anything. Okay, so there is this, it's very, very, very slim possibility, but it's still a possibility, and I just don't count out anything with these people. So apparently, I don't know all the states this works in, but I know in Pennsylvania, what happens is, if by the day that the results are supposed to be ratified, there are still court cases up in the air, that the count is still not ratified, it then flips to the legislator to pick the electors.
The legislature. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, the legislature, which in Pennsylvania is a Republican legislature. So, knowing that they cannot win these lawsuits, they could still clog up the courts and keep it going for so long that by the time in December, a month from now, we can't ratify the results. And then it flips to legislators. Legislatures. It's all bad. I just am so tired of like hearing commentators be like, don't worry, this isn't going to happen. They can't do that. I'm so tired of that.
Then that's what people have been saying for a year. Well, he has no choice but leave office. We have institutions. They're like, where have you been for the past 4 years? They don't give a fuck about these institutions.
They don't. And Mitch McConnell's going to burn it all down. He doesn't care if Trump incites violence, starts a civil war. For him, it's win-win. Either he's going to use his Trump support to get those Georgia seats, and Trump is going to have to leave somehow, some way, or Trump is going to be successful in his coup, and Mitch McConnell's still in power. It's a win-win for him.
I just don't know how this plays out, and it's not even fun to talk about. It's terrifying.
It is.
Can we talk about something a little bit lighter?
Please.
Dean Browning.
Oh, God. That was such a confusing story. I still am not sure I understand what happened.
I still don't know what to make of it.
What happened?
Okay, so yesterday, a former Lehigh County, Pennsylvania Republican official who ran for Congress lost his Republican primary by the name of Dean Browning, sent out a tweet from his account where he was like, as a black gay man, first of all, it's gay black man. That's the order of things. But anyway, as a black gay man.
There's your first tell right there.
I can personally say that Obama did nothing for me. And he goes on to talk about how his life is better under Trump. But he tweeted it from his very white account. People picked up on this. And Browning deleted the tweet and said that he was actually quoting a message that one of his supporters sent him.
Where were the quotes, though? Where were the quotes? That's what I said. Where are the quotes at, bro? Where's your quotes?
Exactly. So a bunch of Twitter sleuths did some investigating and found a really new account created like in the last couple months of a gay black man who had been going back and forth with Browning. What was that account's name? Purdy. It was Dan Purdy.
Dan Purdy.
Yeah, so people figured out that Dan Purdy was probably an alias account, a sock puppet account that Dean Browning had been using
as a gay black man.
Which was pretty funny. And then it gets a little bit weirder. Dan Purdy then tweets that he's not a sock puppet. He's actually a real black man. And there's a video.
Yeah, but then
really
it got deleted.
Looking video.
It got deleted. Was it? Do you think
so?
It was?
I watched the video. It looked like a deep fake.
I was just going to say, do you think it was a deep fake?
It didn't look real at all. Like, this man did not look entirely like any human being I'd ever seen.
Okay.
Well, people did a little bit more sleuthing and found that both the avatar used by Dan Purdy and the likeness, the actual face, was that of a man by the name of Bill Holty.
Which is Patti LaBelle's adopted... No, Patti LaBelle's nephew?
Early reports, like the internet said that Bill Holty was Patti LaBelle's son, but it turns out that his nephew. So none of this makes any sense. We don't know if, in fact, Bill Holty was using the Dan Purdy account as an alias. We don't know if, after this scandal was found, that Bill Holty is just the actor that they got to pretend to be Dan Purdy. We do know that Twitter was like, this shit is fucking shenanigans, and they suspended the Bill Holty account.
What? I didn't know that.
Sorry, not the Bill Holty account, the Dan Purdy account. It's gone.
That's crazy.
What? This is... You know, they say every day Twitter has one main character.
This was the main character yesterday.
And your goal is just not to be him?
Yes. Oh, God. Ugh.
But, like, this is our new political reality.
Mm-hmm. We don't know what's
real. We have no idea what's real. And, yes, there have always been fake agitators and trolls on the internet. But now we have the technology to actually create video and audio.
It's scary. What's going to happen?
Because I was like, the technology from the Bill Holty video looks to me like the same technology they used to make the California raisins.
Oh, shit. What do you think Patti LaBelle is like? I think she's like, why are y'all dragging me into this? I have nothing to do with anything. Just let me have my cooking show.
I'm not entirely certain Miss Patty even knows about this
shit. She probably doesn't. No, she does have a cooking show, though, right? She has no type of
internet.
She had a cooking show, right? Or she's a big cook.
She makes those pies.
She makes those pies. That's what it is.
Yeah, you can get those patty pies from Walmart, I believe. I have not had a patty pie because I'm not going to set foot in Walmart. It has nothing to do with their politics. I just don't like being around the rabble.
Oh, okay. You elitist fuck. You just want to get in your jet and never go into Walmart.
You see it.
I do. I know who you are.
But Miss Patty, if you're listening, come on the show and clarify. We would love to have you on the show. I'm a big fan.
I'm a huge fan. All right, then. I think we should close it up, end it up. There's not much more to say. There's a coup happening. We make jokes, yet we actually are very terrified.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. So be safe out there.
Be safe. You know, I have a big mouth, and I'm going to have to check myself, I think, now. I can't get shot. I can't get beat up. I need to not die. So, yeah.
I will get beat up for the both of us.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
As always, follow us on the things at Eat the Press. Thank you.
Theme music.
Yeah, go ahead. You say it.
Provided by the guy Kevin MacLeod.
Mm-hmm, Kevin MacLeod.
Licensed through Creative Commons.
Yes. Until next time, if anything big happens, we'll do an emergency pod. But, you know, we're letting this shit play out. If we had done the pod on Saturday or Sunday, we would have been way more optimistic than we are now. And I think...
And let's keep it real. You don't come here for glee.
No.
We got to get the people what they want.
Yeah.
Streets need it.
Okay, until next time.
Until next time.